You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And good morning to you, Adam Gilchrist. I see the Russian spy web, the plot thickens there around the fate of a former double agent.
Morning, Bongani. Yeah, absolutely. What is going on with Sergei Skripal and his daughter, Yulia? Well, they're both critically ill in hospital. We know there's a meeting of the government's emergency COBRA committee this morning. This couple were found unconscious on a bench outside a shopping centre in Salisbury, in Wiltshire, remember. But what we know is an unknown substance is being examined at this top secret weapons base that the UK has in Porton Down. It is now counter-terrorism police who are fronting the investigation, not just plain old Scotland Yard. The Foreign Secretary, Boris Johnson, has said that if Russian involvement is proven, and they've denied it so far, there would be a robust response. At one stage, he talked about England boycotting the World Cup in Russia. He then clarified that he meant VIPs, not the actual team. But the thing about this is that the wife, brother, and son of Colonel Skripal have also all died somewhat mysteriously in the last 2 years. Is it possible also that his daughter unwittingly brought something with her, because she's based in Moscow and was visiting her dad in the UK? There are so many questions, and all of it somehow has intrigue attached.
And of course, what's happening with this trade war that they're talking about, the possibility at least of it? Because Donald Trump seems to have climbed down a little bit, but you're saying the EU is edging ever closer to a fight with the US on imports?
Yeah, it does look, I mean, for instance, overnight, Donald Trump's main advisor on economics, Gary Cohn, has resigned over the proposed tariffs on imports of steel and aluminium. Remember, America is proposing 25% and 10% tariffs on these, and that would affect the European market and could close factories and so forth. And also, at the same time, that there could be extra tariffs on European cars. Donald Trump suggesting that somehow the American market is being flooded by European cars. Well, they're being bought by people who want to buy BMWs and Volvos and Saabs and things. In return, the European Union is talking about potential import taxes on Levi jeans and bourbon, to name but two. I'm not quite sure who that affects the most, though, Levi's and bourbon. But there we are. They're talking about that. And the thing about a trade war is that, generally speaking, most people agree that nobody wins. And even if technically this is European Union versus USA, it would probably drag the rest of the world in. And yeah, China has already made some noises about how they don't want this trade war. Thank you very much.
Yeah, indeed. Nobody wants that. A robotic wolf being deployed in Japan to chase off wild boars.
I know, it sounds like we've made this up.
I was about to say, stranger things have happened, I guess.
That's true. Although this is pretty strange and pretty scary looking as well, I have to say. I mean, obviously, robotics have advanced amazingly in the past few years. And so, lo and behold, instead of having a sort of statuesque scarecrow that blinks its eyes, in Japan, they've invented what they call a super monster wolf. So a robot covered with realistic-looking fur and big, flashy red eyes, which roams around up to 1 kilometer, so a fair bit of farmland. And in particular, in Chiba, an area of Japan, they're using this super monster wolf to scare off wild boar and protect their rice and chestnut crops. And apparently, it's working. Plus, this robotic wolf comes in at less than $5,000 a time. I wonder how many other parts of the world could do with a robotic wolf. The only trouble is, Bongani, if they put a bit of artificial intelligence into this thing, it's that scary, it would rule the world. I'm not sure how far they'll go with it, though.
Yeah, AI going into the future. Adam Gilchrist on the line there from the UK. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. Today's question comes from Yaya Atia, who tweeted, "Why do stock markets open and close? Why not just trade 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Hashtag Emirates Worldview." To get to the answer, we spoke to Magnus De Wet, Managing Director at Vista Wealth Management.
There's a lot of stories on why stock exchanges open and close. Some of the stories date back 400 years to the first stock exchanges that were in Europe, more specifically in Amsterdam, where the Dutch East India Company, the VOC, had to raise capital for the seafaring projects. During the day, what would happen is the merchants would be trading at the stock exchange, but at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, they would leave the stock exchange to go back to the harbour, because between 5 and 7, it was a high tide in Europe, and the ships were becoming in, and the merchants would have to offload the ships. Personally, I think that is just a story. And the real reason why stock exchanges open and close is because it is just a marketplace where buyers and sellers get together. It's no different to the fresh produce market in Johannesburg, where buyers and sellers get together to sell their produce. Other reasons for closing exchanges is for the exchange itself to reconcile and balance back at the end of the day all the trades that happened on the market. They would also have to ensure the market was a fair market. The last reason would be the human factor. People must sleep.
Of course, a bit of housekeeping there. People must sleep indeed. Congratulations, Yaya Atiya, for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won 1,000 Rand courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Jones, welcome back. Thought I'd pop in to hear how the trip went.
Oh, it was fantastic, Mr. Abrams. I've never experienced anything like it. The seats reclining to fully flat beds and the mattress and duvet set they give you are out of this world.
Excellent, Jones, but I meant, how did the fee negotiations go?
Experience the unparalleled comfort of a fully flat bed seat when you fly Emirates Business Class. To book or find out more, visit emirates.com/ZA. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.